You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. If you'd like to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. And I thank you for downloading these podcasts here on Intelligent Medicine and reading the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, which comes out once a week. You can go to drhoffman.com to subscribe. We don't do anything with your email other than email you the newsletter. And you may unsubscribe at any time. And it's free. I want to talk about irritable bowel syndrome. And I want to talk about a FODMAPS diet, which is the preferred treatment, even lately among gastroenterologists, not just nutritionists, by removing the FODMAPs. And what FODMAPs are the carbohydrates that tend to ferment. So FODMAP is the acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. That's what we're talking about. So these are the things that ferment a lot in the belly and may contribute to irritable bowel syndrome. And IBS can be characterized as many things: alternating diarrhea with constipation, lower abdominal gas and bloating. Often this is also associated with candida. Candida certainly plays a part. The overgrowth of candida, yeast overgrowth, definitely plays a role. You may have developed IBS as a result of taking antibiotics, for example. That could be something. But there was a study done recently that found that cutting out sugar and starch is as effective for IBS as a low FODMAP diet. So for individuals who are struggling with IBS, managing symptoms can often feel like navigating a complex dietary maze. I would normally give to clients a short list of FODMAP foods that I found to be the most problematic. There are other much longer lists, and there are apps that have a lot of long, long lists of food to avoid. Some people love kind of detail. Others are overwhelmed by it. Absolutely overwhelmed. So for those of you who love an app like that to read all about foods that contain FODMAPs and what you want to avoid for your IBS, absolutely do so. For others, I give a much shorter list of the most problematic foods. But the study is finding, and it's true, that a low sugar starch diet can be just as effective. Why? Sugars and starches also can feed bad bacteria and contribute to irritable bowel syndrome. It's not just about candida. There's also small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Testing for SIBO, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, has been exploding in recent years. I know we've done it in our offices. And typically, when we find positive SIBO result on this test, we treat for SIBO. We treat the symptoms, low FODMAP, maybe some botanicals to help reduce the bad bacteria in the gut. And a low FODMAP diet in the short term is helpful. We don't necessarily want you avoiding all FODMAP foods, because many are very healthy vegetables and fruits. If you enjoy them, we want you to continue enjoying them. So, a recent study published in Nutrient offers a simpler and potentially equally effective alternative to the widely recommended low FODMAP diet. And the research suggests that cutting down on sugar and starch through what is known as the starch and sucrose reduced diet can significantly alleviate IBS. And reducing your starch and sugar will help you to lose weight and will lower all of that fermentation in your belly, contributing to the gas and the bloating associated with IBS. So according to the study, IBS is a common gastrointestinal disorder characterized by symptoms like abdominal pain, bloating, altered bowel habits, including diarrhea and constipation. The low FODMAP diet, which involves eliminating certain fermentable carbohydrates that can trigger IBS symptoms, has long been the gold standard in dietary management for this condition. However, it's often perceived as complex and restricted, requiring strict adherence to list foods to avoid, including gluten and lactose. And that's true. Gluten and lactose are FODMAPs and they're meant to be avoided. So, led by Professor Bodil Olsen, MD, of Lund University and Skåne University Hospital, the study compared the effectiveness of a low starch and sucrose diet, sucrose is sugar, to the low FODMAP diet, in a group of 155 IBS patients. Participants were randomly assigned to follow one of the two diets for 4 weeks. The results showed that both diets resulted in symptom improvement for 75 to 80% of the participants. Moreover, those following the SSRD, which is the starch and sucrose restricted diet, experienced greater weight loss and a marked reduction in sugar cravings compared to the low FODMAP group. And just to revisit the FODMAP diet. Now, the sweets that contain FODMAPs to eliminate are the sweeteners are sorbitol, mannitol, xylitol, maltitol, isomalt. The sugar alcohols are problematic. They're FODMAP foods. But did you know what is suitable on a low FODMAP? Sugar, glucose, artificial sweeteners, maple syrup, golden syrup, which I believe is corn syrup or high fructose corn syrup in the UK. These are what's allowed. So you're still allowed to eat sugar on a low FODMAP diet, but not the sugar alcohols. And the fruit to be avoided on a low FODMAP diet include apples, pears, mangoes, canned fruit, watermelon, and other sweeteners containing fructose. These are problematic. But the fruits that are allowed on a low FODMAP diet include bananas, grapefruit, blueberries, grapes, honeydew melons, kiwi, lemons, limes, mandarin, oranges, passion fruit, raspberries, strawberries, tangelos, right? And again, we don't want you on a low FODMAP diet forever. Here are other foods containing FODMAPs. And these are cereals, wheat and rye when eaten in large amounts, like breads, pastas, couscous. But the grain fruit foods you can eat on a low FODMAP diet includes spelt bread, rice, corn, oats, polenta. But remember, these don't help with any kind of weight gain or weight loss or anything like that. Vegetables to avoid on a low FODMAP diet, to avoid because they contain fructans. Artichokes, beetroot, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, fennel, garlic, leeks, okra, onions. The white part of spring onions or scallions. And shallots. And these are the particular fruits and vegetables containing the excess fructose and the lactose. Milk products are out. Unless it's lactose-free milk. Right? It's got to all be lactose-free. The fructans and the vegetables, the cereals I just mentioned, and also galactans, which are in legumes, peas, lentils, red kidney beans, baked beans, and polyols. There are certain fruits that have polyols, which are FODMAPs. The P in FODMAP is polyols. Apples, apricots, cherries, lychees, nectarines, pears, peaches, plums, prunes, watermelon. But again, the fruits and vegetables that you're allowed, the lactose-free milk, the cereals that you're allowed, and the sweeteners that you're allowed, with sugar and maple syrup and golden syrup, you don't want to eat these foods. They could feed other bad bacteria and contribute to your symptoms, which is really what we're trying to avoid. So this was a very interesting study. That, you know, just reduced starch and sugar gave as much relief as embarking on a low FODMAP diet to relieving your IBS symptoms. Remember also that irritable bowel syndrome, I have found in my 20 plus years of experience now, is often a diagnosis of exclusion. You don't have inflammatory bowel disease. There isn't some other problem that you have. You have irritable bowel. Often, these symptoms show up after a round of antibiotics, crappy diet, which includes a lot of sugars and starches, processed foods, foods that you're not tolerant of. Maybe there are certain foods you have intolerance to or sensitivities to. These may include gluten and dairy. Certainly sugar, right? Avoiding food allergens is helpful. And often when you really get rid of all these starches and sugars and really lower your carbohydrates, the belly gets really, really, really nice and quiet. And especially if your IBS is diarrhea dominant as opposed to constipation dominant. I've also had people report to me that they get more constipated when they have gluten. Once they remove the gluten, you know, the wheat, rye, barley, triticale, spelt, all of that. Spelt is not gluten-free. It's ancient wheat is what that is. You want to get rid of all of that. They get much relief with the elimination of gluten. I've heard this over and over again. And people get way more relief, both diarrhea and constipation, when they really get rid of the starches and the sugars and eat more of a proper human diet, which includes animal protein, animal fat, good quality, low glycemic, vegetables and fruits, right? This is what's helpful in reducing your IBS symptoms. IBS can also happen after a stressful event. Bad bacteria can grow for any reason. It's even been found in the scientific research, especially in women, for some reason. Must be all of our pesky hormones, ladies. I don't. That stress contributes Candida overgrowth. And we found decades ago that Candida is a main contributor to IBS type symptoms. So there, just by, and a yeast-free diet is a low-carb diet. If you want to reduce the Candida, you have to embark on a low-sugar, low-starch diet. So there's your answer. So much of this is related to the bad bacteria growing in the gut. You don't want some kind of oppressive bacteria there, an opportunistic bacteria like Candida or other bacteria that grows in small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. But there are nice botanicals to help as an adjunct to a diet of low sugar, low starch, and for some of you, low FODMAP. For some of you, you're just not going to do well with onions and garlic and mushrooms and asparagus and broccoli and cabbage and apples and things like that. You're going to do better without it for a while because this is contributing to your present symptoms. It's all right to eliminate the FODMAP foods, even though they're considered healthy foods. But we really don't want you on a low FODMAP diet for longer than 6 weeks. We want you to be able to eat your broccoli and your cabbage and your asparagus and your onions and garlic. These are also good prebiotics. But these prebiotics are not helpful in the presence of too much bad bacteria. Those prebiotic foods may be feeding the bad bacteria at this time when you have this overgrowth. But once you've gotten more of a balance of flora in your gut, things have normalized. The Candida is greatly reduced. The small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is greatly reduced or eliminated. Things are better. Your symptoms are better. What? The asparagus and the onion and so forth. Should you go all the way to sugars and starches? I wouldn't. Especially if you have blood sugar issues, a weight problem, insulin resistance, you're prone to abdominal bloat and discomfort, flatulence. You don't need all that. You don't need all that starch and sugar. What you really need is animal proteins and fats and good quality, low sugar, low glycemic vegetables and fruits, maybe from nuts and maybe some nuts and seeds. Not necessarily raw nuts and seeds, because they contain trypsin inhibitors, which inhibit your own digestion of them. Remember, these plants, they want to live and propagate. But if you're able to digest them, they're not able to propagate. You have to poop them out, and they get the benefit of your poop as fertilizer, right? So they can continue to live. Roasting is better if you're eating nuts and seeds. It deactivates those trypsin inhibitors, which is very, very helpful in that regard. So I'm going to wonder more about the popularity of a low FODMAP diet going forward. Many people are helped by it. Many people swear by it. But again, do you want to be avoiding garlic and leeks and shallots forever and ever and Brussels sprouts? Maybe you don't. Maybe you miss those foods and you enjoy those foods and you'd like to have them again. That's why when I put someone on the low FODMAP diet, it's with the understanding of this is not a forever deal. You're not going to have bad bacteria growing in your gut for the rest of your life unless you continue a poor diet and eating so much sugar and starch that feeds all this stuff, or eating highly fermentable carbohydrates feeds all this stuff, or at least that contributes to it, or that exacerbates it in some way, right? So you really want to reevaluate what you're eating and change all that. Change in diet is 80 to 90% of your relief. The rest is the botanicals to help you along to really get rid of it. I know doctors that have prescribed Xifaxan for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. We've seen good results there with that particular antibiotic that is for SIBO. We've seen good results there. Some people require yet another dose. But here's what often happens. people will fall back into their old dietary habits. I'm talking about a crappy diet. I'm talking about a diet that's high in sugar and starch. You don't want that. Let me remind you, you do not want that. So, a low sugar and starch diet compares absolutely to a low FODMAP diet in this particular study that was in Nutrients, in the journal Nutrients. And this is from, let's see here, this is from Nutrients 2024, volume 16. It was published September 9 of this year. If you want to go take a look. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.